It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
All right, welcome into the Lake Show here. News Talk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake, Lindsey Brown producing tonight. We'll take you up until 9 p.m. like we typically do. Appreciate you listening. And I'm going to just say off the top, I need some assistance. I need some help. I feel like if I could, I would want to go back to 1997-98 when I had the ability to sit in high school gyms and watch top-tier high school basketball players and jot down notes and put together rankings. Those days changed going back to 2004. Like when I got the opportunity to be a radio host and do the Sludge and Lake Show in 2004, where your nights are taken up, that altered things. But I need some help. Because in my opinion right now, when we talk about Minnesota high school sports, we need some uniformity. And so the help that I need is from the greater high school sports community. Because I came across something that didn't sit well with me. And I'm all for rules, right? You got rules, structure, I get that. But when we are talking about young people, I want them to be able to take advantage of opportunities afforded to them. But the opportunity matters, okay? And I started to wonder what high school sports is supposed to be all about. Is it about wins and losses? And I know that there are rules about how many quarters or halves an athlete can play if they're playing ninth grade or JV or varsity, right? And we talk about kids playing before they get to actual high school, and they're middle schoolers. I get that. But I don't agree with these rules. And I want to give you guys a scenario, okay? I'm not going to bring up specifically the young kid's name. And I'm not even going to bring up the team that he opposed. But let me run this by you. So, kid drops 32 points in an eighth grade game. Okay? He drops 32 points in an eighth grade game. Wins. Opposing high school varsity team coach denies waiver for him to play up last night after watching that game. Okay? And this post was from a couple days ago. And I'm like, well, hold on. Well, I don't think that that's constructive for anyone. It's not constructive for the kid. It's not constructing for the opposing team. And I get it. Coaches, they want to be in a position to win games. I get that. I don't think that denying somebody an opportunity, whether they played all their halves or quarters, whatever, I don't think that denying somebody the opportunity is good for, well, the kid. I don't think it's good for your players. You may win that game, but in the long run, your kids aren't benefiting from that. Coaches are leaders, and their number one job is about teaching kids. teaching them the game, the fundamentals. There are life lessons. There's the competition. Those things matter. The young kids talk about, we want the smoke. That's ducking smoke. I'd feel weird if I was a coach. And look, I've been on the website looking at the Minnesota State High School League. I called a bunch of people today about this particular situation. And it just comes across as weak. Like, how would you feel? I wouldn't feel great if I was a high school coach and I got juniors and seniors and I got a team full of varsity players and I'm scared and afraid of the possibility of facing a good eighth grader? That's not to me sending a good message. But the uniformity thing, I think, is a bigger issue because this is really what made this entire situation interesting to me. With regards to schools and the districts and the different rules. And look, we know that there are a lot of schools out there, okay? Many districts out there. And we talk about private and public schools. If a kid has the ability to play varsity as a seventh or eighth grader, that young person should be allowed, boy or girl, should be allowed to participate at the highest of levels. And I'm a little bit surprised that we're still stuck here and it's 2025. And I started doing a little research, and when I was calling and talking to different people about different situations, we know that the phenomenal player was a Maddie Greenway, Chad's daughter. Phenomenal basketball player, right?
Going to Kentucky.
Congratulations to her. She's phenomenal. Like, I've never seen her play in person, but I've seen, like, you know, because everything is searchable, right? Like, you can go look up the highlights on every different. She's a stone-cold assassin. She can play. She started playing varsity, what, seventh grade? And she's going to, you know, she's scoring a gazillion points. I didn't know that Mara Braun, who I'm a big fan of, that's with the Gopher women, what, from Maple Grove, not allowed to play varsity until getting to the ninth grade? Why?
I've heard things about Maple Grove and how they handle their youth sports, not necessarily basketball. So I'm not surprised at such a rule.
But I guess my point is like, the fluctuations here between what people over here can do, and I understand that Providence Academy is different than Maple Grove. I get that, okay? But at the end of the day, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I need some help here. 651-461-9226. I would like to think that when we talk about our kids, our children, uplifting and giving them opportunities, if a kid's phenomenal, if they're awesome, at whatever grade, and they have the ability to play up, they should have the ability to me, be able to play up. And it's this whole thing about halves and quarters and all that, maybe it's super intricate, and I just haven't dived into all of that. But even that's kind of – because I get a little bit of it.
A little oversight to help keep you honest.
Yes, I totally get that.
It's never
going
to be perfect, but at least they feel like there's some sort of standard.
There's always going to be outliers, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's always going to be those special, special individuals. And then what does that create? A kid have to hop from a district or a school to go play somewhere else because their talent level's that good? 651-461-9226. Call in to talk about this. Call to text. Love to hear from you. You're on the Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamonte Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
At the high school level, let's teach. Let's give these kids opportunities. I know that we've been doing that. Let's continue to do that. But also, let's do it in the way that we're going about it and understanding that the crux of it should be about the development. It should be about the competition, about the things that really matter. If 100% that post is true about that coach not wanting to allow that younger kid, the middle school player, that to me is weak sauce. That's the best way that I go about saying it. I don't want to mention the player. I don't even want to mention high school because I don't want to single out the coach, whatever. It was an outstate coach out in the Medford, Owatonna area. But just the bottom line, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But we do need more uniformity. But I want to hear from coaches. Coaches, referees, those people out there that have a perspective or even a parent. 651-461-9226. Let's go to Lee. Lee's had some involvement in coaching. How you doing, Lee?
I'm doing great. I started coaching in 1988. I was a head football coach right out of college. And I've coached at college level, junior high, the whole works, right?
Uh-huh.
Two sons and daughter that were all involved in sports. I think the issue to me as a coach would be, does this kid not belong at a lower level, more so than does he have the ability to play at varsity? If I got a good program, I should have a lot of kids that can play at varsity. But if this kid absolutely doesn't belong, if he doesn't belong in junior high, he should be playing some varsity. I'm not familiar with the whole deposing coach gets to decide how your program goes.
I was hoping somebody could help me with that with regards to, like, is there some sort of specific, because I was trying to look all over about, because let's say that you've exhausted all of your halves or whatever, right? You just don't automatically get the opportunity to make sure that you're able to. It's not like you can play all day, which I would have a problem if a kid played all levels, right? If they're accelerating, if they have the passion to play, if they want to play as much as they want to play, I wouldn't believe there'd be a problem with that. I'm trying to figure out what the technical issue would be with that.
I've never heard of an opposing coach getting to say whether your kid gets a bump up or not. That's an issue. Parents usually sign off on a form. The coach signs off. The AD signs off. But yep. Not, and as far as quarters and halves and stuff, that doesn't even start till high school. They don't keep track of halves at junior high games. State high school doesn't do that.
Well, no. Eighth grade kids. I know. I talked to an elite women's parent earlier today. They do the with basketball. I'm talking about basketball in this instance. There is an issue with the halves thing, because their daughter is an elite, top tier, will be nationally ranked and all that. She has just elected to just play varsity now, just because they didn't want to get caught up into the how much time they're going to be able to play with the different levels and stuff. They're an eighth grader.
Yeah, you can play one half of JV and two halves of varsity.
Mm-hmm.
But state high school doesn't care about junior high.
Yep. Yep. But I'm talking about from a developmental level, though. I know some parents, from a developmental standpoint, some parents, even of elite kids, they don't always want to just have their kids just jump right in, you know, because that can be tricky at times. Your kid can get stagnant. They're jumping in the pool and they haven't developed enough. And so some people will pace their kids, you know, in terms of the ninth grade, ease them into JV. You know what I'm saying? So I still see some parts of that. So.
Yeah, I think, too, you know, when you're comparing smaller Providence Academy to Maple Grove, again, if your program's good, you should have a bunch of kids that can play. Here's the thing, too, even at the college level, let's say you throw a freshman in there over a senior. If that doesn't work out, you might lose your whole locker room.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, just because the kid can doesn't mean they have to. Right now, you know, and again, if they're way heads and shoulders above anybody at that level, then they should be up. But just because they can doesn't mean you necessarily should be throwing them in there.
No, you should always do right by the kid. If the kid is prepared and they have the ability and the aptitude to play, they should be allowed to. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Lee. I truly do appreciate it, man. Great perspective there. Let's go to Pat. Pat's got some expertise as well. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it.
Great. My role right now is I'm the liaison for girls basketball coaches in the state of Minnesota, the high school league. So I can start with, you know, I think many programs are feeling pressure from parents. They have to play better kids at higher levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often we move kids to levels that they aren't emotionally or physically ready for.
Yep.
And, you know, with it, our numbers across the state continue to drop in girls basketball, and they're dropping around the nation. And there's a number of issues when you start teaching second and third graders traveling basketball when most couldn't get the ball up to a 10-foot hoop. You lose big kids, and we're losing a ton of big kids to volleyball because at the younger levels, they don't get to touch the ball if they can't rebound.
Yeah.
You know, they're not involved in any developmental part. Mara Braun, for your information, is from Wayzata.
Okay.
In Wayzata, you're talking about a school with almost 1,000 kids in a grade. So
yep.
I'm sure that their school district has made the choice that we've got enough kids that we shouldn't be moving 7th and 8th graders, even good ones, past.
Exactly. And the same thing with schools like Hopkins and others around there. Yeah.
But what's happening, I believe, is that the pressure to move those kids forces schools to move them to a level to play. As soon as they get on a high school league roster, they can't mm-hmm. play traveling mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. That rule is now in place. And what it does is any 9th, 10th, or 11th grader that sees 7th and 8th graders moving past them, and often they're not moved right to varsity. They're moved to B squad or
yep.
JV. They look and go, I'm not going to ever play varsity, so I might as well do something else. We've got conferences in northern Minnesota. They only play a half of a JV game because with only allowing three halves in a night, they don't have enough halves to go around to field two full games.
Yeah, and I think I'm probably speaking more to the outlier of some of the top-tier exceptional as opposed to across the board. Let me ask you this, Pat, and I appreciate you calling in. Do you think that the halves thing has something also to do with, because it's been around for a while, do you think that that helps with kids not getting burnt out?
I don't know if it was a burned out. I think probably they'd talk about you don't want to play too many halves in night. You don't want to play kids just down at the JV level or B squad level so you can win those games in addition to the varsity level. I'm sure there's a bundle of reasons those rules went into place and whatever the sport is across the board. But I don't see our game. The top level of our game is unbelievable. Our top 20 or 30 teams are college level basketball. But the chasm between that and the middle and between the middle and the bottom now is so huge. I don't like the direction our game is going. And I said, I love the top end. Our top kids compete nationally with anybody.
Yeah.
But as far as what's good for our game, I don't think our game's at a great place right now.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it, Pat. That's a great phone call. Great perspective there. Lindsay, you've been listening.
Yeah, I've been listening. And I know that basketball, hockey, there's all these different nuances to these pools and how we talk about them and how we develop these kids. But what Pat was putting down in terms of the state of the game that he's noticing, I'm noticing that on the hockey side as well. And, you know, just verbally processing here, we need to really take a look at what competition we're truly sanctifying, right? Like, what are we truly worried about when we're talking about this particular situation? Is about the competition piece and simply giving people the place to practice life, to win, to learn how to win, to learn how to lose, to learn how to work together with people? Or is it about producing the best players, also known as products, in today's sports market? Because I think that's where things get a little bit convoluted, saying, well, this seventh grader deserves to be able to play. They should be able to pursue. Like, it's almost like a little manifest destiny in the bottom of it, that you can pull yourself up and become this person that could dominate a market or become a product yourself, but at the expense of the pool of everyone else. Not everybody's looking to go pro in something, even though the entire sports market for kids seems to be going towards that. And I think that's where we get away from what are we truly trying to create when we're playing sports with these kids. It's so they can simulate winning and losing. And I think we have gotten away from being okay to lose. Like, I listen to kids talk today, and they don't even validate each other when they get beat in, like, a backyard football play. It's not like, you made a great play and you beat me. It's that the conditions, something happened here, and my foot slipped, and that's why you beat me.
Nowadays, a lot of young people, it's almost like they're not processing that you learn something in a loss.
You learn so much more. But that's where it's like, why are we so averse to wearing that, even for just a short amount of time? Because guess what? There's another practice. There's another game. There's another rep coming right up. That is the practice of sports, or any practice of anything. Like, nothing ever really truly matters if there's always another one coming up.
Coming up this weekend, we've got Hockey Day Minnesota. It's in Shakopee. We're going to talk to writer and reporter Heather Rule. She joins us next year on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5. With Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
And our next guest here on the show, Heather Rule, she's really good at covering sports. See her all the time in the press box at Target Field. I don't get out to many Wild games. She's always at Minnesota Wild Hockey, but she joins us now courtesy of the John Schuster Goal at Baker Hotline. Heather, you are hanging out because it is Hockey Day Minnesota this week and weekend. First off, how you been?
I'm good. Good, Henry. I haven't seen you in a while, so I miss you, but... yeah, things are going well. It's hockey season. I'm always keeping busy with that.
Yeah, super busy. And right now you are currently in – are you in Shakopee right now?
I am, yes. Yes. So I'm in one of the warming tents that's intermission for one of the games right now.
All right,
I'm out at Valley Fair. There's 3 girls hockey games here tonight. So
okay, yeah. All right. So let's start there. What game right now is in intermission and you're warming up while they're, you know, they're kind of – taking a break?
Sure. Yeah, so right now it's Prior Lake and Eden Prairie girls. Eden Prairie is up 2-0 after 2.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, one of the big deals, and I saw a great article that you did, a preview for Minnesota Hockey Magazine, where you're just kind of previewing and you talk about for the first time in 50 years, Valley Fair plans to open rides in the winter, and that's all because of the Hockey Day Minnesota. So kind of talk us through how Shakopee and specifically Valley Fair is playing this thing out.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, over the years with Hockey Day, there's definitely been some kind of unique settings and backdrops. They, you know, tarmac at St. Paul's downtown airport. They've, you know, been in Duluth, Stillwater. You have the Lift Bridge kind of in the background. But for Valley Fair, this is, you know, the first time, too, on private property they've had Hockey Day, the first time at an amusement park they've had Hockey Day. So it's definitely a unique spot. The rink is set up kind of in the main parking lot. And then you have in the background, you know, you've got the roller coasters and just everything at Valley Fair. And those aren't operating because of, you know, safety and with the cold. And plus, I talked to the person from Valley Fair, said, plus it'd be kind of cold if you're going down those roller coasters in the winter, having that wind whip in your face. So for safety reasons, they have, I think, 5 rides that we're going to be going, you know, the carousel, the antique autos, you know, some things that are kind of more on the ground, the tilter, the scrambler, those rides. So those are open throughout the Hockey Day festivities here. It started yesterday, Hockey Week, I've been calling it. The main festivities are on Saturday, but it started yesterday. And yeah, it's kind of a cool backdrop here.
Yeah, so what is the attendance like right now? Because it's rather loud. It's kind of this. It sounds like you're hanging out at a concert right now. What's the attendance you would say like for this evening at least?
Yeah, it didn't time out too well. It's so intermission, so they're playing music, of course, the whole time. It's a little quieter during the games, but attendance isn't, you know, it's not a ton right now. I think I think a lot of the fans and family, friends of, you know, the girls' teams that are out here playing tonight. So it's a little bit lighter crowd for sure. I think I would expect tomorrow would be a lot more packed. There's a Gophers alumni game that's going to be happening out here along with some high school games. And then Saturday, too, is, you know, when the Shakopee boys team is featured and Gopher women's hockey playing here, too, which they haven't played in too many hockey days at the site. So that's kind of cool, too.
Yeah, we're talking to Heather Rule, sports reporter here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. We're talking about Hockey Day Week or Hockey Day Minnesota that's taking place this Saturday. And let's fast forward to Saturday. What do you make of the games and kind of the matchups and what we have on the docket for all the fine folks out there in Shakopee?
Yeah, so it starts 8:30 in the morning. Ian Prairie Hibbing boys team will have the first game, and then it'll be the Gophers and Bemidji State women at 11:30. And then it's Shakopee boys versus Maple Grove have the next two. It's the varsity at 2:30, and then the JV boys go out at 5 o'clock. And then for the TV coverage, the Wilder at 6 o'clock at the X. So.
Yep. They're going to be taking on the Calgary Flames. It's just interesting that this whole situation has really taken off, and I think it kind of solidifies in our minds that we are the state of hockey. My question to you is, how many Hockey Day Minnesota events have you been to, like in terms of the actual Saturday?
Yeah, I think this is my, third or fourth, I think. I've been to Mankato, Minneapolis, Wiper Lake, and now Shakopee. So each one is kind of unique in its own way, as far as obviously, you know, with the weather too. There were some where there was a ton of snow falling, kind of blowing snow. So you got to kind of stop playing once in a while and maintain the rink a little bit, clear some of the snow off if that happens. But like in Minneapolis, there was the skyline downtown. It was at parade. So that was really kind of a cool setting. And Mankato was at the college campus on the football field. So the seating for that one was awesome for spectators, and that drew a lot of big crowds for the college games, especially. And I know the communities, each host community really takes pride in putting together a good hockey day, and especially for Shakopee, too, getting to showcase, you know, themselves as a hockey community and show people that, you know, it's not just the Dinas and the Minnetonkas or the Eden Prairies or, you know, whoever else in the metro people might think of naturally as being kind of a hockey power, but Shakopee has built a great hockey community as well, and so that's something I think they're pretty proud of.
All right, last question for you, and then we'll let you go, and we appreciate your time this evening. Aside from it being, you know, in Shakopee and, you know, the backdrop of Valley Fair, that being in the skyline and all that, what else do you think really makes this year's version of Hockey Day Minnesota unique?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the Valley Fair and the rides is obviously kind of the big one. And I think it's for any of the teams that are participating throughout the week, too. Again, starting last night, you know, there's like two or three high school games. So I think each program, I think what they do, too, is they'll wear special jerseys. You know, they'll kind of do something special as a team and put together a special jersey that they only wear in hockey day. You know, it's not necessarily unique to this hockey day, but I think just always, you know, you show up and just kind of the setup is always different no matter where you go. Like, you know, Wiper Lake, that was also in a park. You know, Minneapolis was at, you know, parade in a park. And so there's just different setups and, you know, just with Shakopee, I really do think it is kind of the valley fair piece for sure. But there's still, you know, there's still a hockey rink. There's still hockey being played. And, you know, it's cold out. as you know, so all the Minnesotans are here bundled up in their hats and with their mittens and everything. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Hey, Heather, I appreciate your time tonight. Have fun out there and stay warm because I know it's cold out there.
Thanks so much, Henry. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. That's Heather Rule. She's a phenomenal sports writer, reporter, joining us here on The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. You, come on now, Miss Puck.
Huh?
Tell me.
About what?
Hockey Day Minnesota. I mean, are you fired up or not?
I'm fired up.
Are you?
I mean, I remember watching it.
I figured you would be.
I forget what lake is in downtown, and it was St. Paul Academy. Their girls team was playing. This is in like 2005, 2004. It was one of the first installments of the whole thing, and just to see to the production that it's turned into now, it's incredible. It's a whole community event. It's something that they really lead up to the entire year.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome they're doing it at Valley Fair and that they're opening up some rides. I mean, only in cold do I think I could ever really attempt the wild thing. This would be the conditions that I would do it because it would probably be such a crazy experience. But it's something that I think is really important to our state and obviously at every level of the game, too. And so I think it's one of our best traditions. I'm a huge fan.
Are you planning on braving the – well, it's not going to
be – am I going to go?
It's not going to be that bad this weekend, though.
No.
I mean, weather-wise,
Saturday – it's not the Warroad game. I think the Warroad, it was really bad.
The high is 26.
That's not terrible.
That's not bad at all.
No. You know, and it's not too far away from the old casino, and so maybe I want to relive some of my Vegas vibes.
Oh, you play table games?
Oh. Let's just say I moved to Vegas at the right time because if I would have done it at age 19, we would have had a much shorter stay. I love blackjack. I love it.
Really?
Oh, God. We dabbled with a gambling addiction for a little while.
You know what? I should have thought about that because I forgot about the Vegas stint.
Well, that's what I said, Henry. Like, I moved later after I had got it out of my system because I remember when I went down there to visit, to take meetings with people, I had to say to myself, I can't play blackjack here with nobody else knowing but me, because if I don't hold myself to the standard here, there's no way my ass can live down here. And what do you know?
Yeah.
Self-control.
651-461-9226. We'll break. We'll come back. Wrap up the final segment of the opening hour right here on The Lake Show. All right. Thanks to Heather Rule for being on the show. Let's talk a little hockey with Lindsay, Miss Hockey. I said this earlier in the morning with Vanita Sakhar. And I'm just like everybody else here, and I'm sure that you're no different. Man, to get Kirill back, it's like you got that present. You got that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Santa is like, I'm sorry, I know it's been kind of tough, but I got something.
Here's a superstar on a platter.
That's because this team was rolling, and I'm not saying that they weren't a little bit shaky before he got like really ding, but there's a difference between looking at your team and feeling as though they're not as good as what we thought they were, to steal from Denny Green or whatever. Like the Wolves. The Wolves haven't been good and they've been inconsistent because that's just who they are. They're inconsistent. But they haven't had Anthony Edwards injured. They haven't had Rudy Gobert injured. They haven't had Julius Randle injured. I get it. Before anybody texts, I know that Dante DiVincenzo just hurt his toe like 4 days ago. So that's new. But with the Minnesota Wild, they legitimately have had some injury issues here over the course of the last month. So it's different.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're really in the dog days of the hockey season. January is the abyss by every definition when it comes to the NHL season. You've played a ton of hockey and you still have a lot in front of you, not to mention all of those miles that have been logged, as you're mentioning, Henry, the injuries that they've all sustained. And when you have Kirill out, not only are you missing a guy who is on every single billboard, the thrill, come see the thrill, and then there's a couple of Matt Boldys. I've only seen it once or twice. But everything is predicated on him. It's not that hockey is one of those sports where it has to be a team effort. You can't just cue in on one person. But when it comes to how we set up the power play, what side are we really gonna set that all up on? Where are we gonna centralize it? What type of attention does somebody like Kirill create? You know, people are gonna gravitate towards him. When that happens, we see that in the Edmonton Oilers power play all the time. I'm gonna go to Connor McDavid. Well, guess what? That's gonna leave Leon Draisaitl wide open on the short side, and he's gonna make you pay every single damn time. And the whole reason why that works for them is because they have Evan Bouchard up at the top for the defenseman, which is your Brock Faber, which is your Jared Spurgeon, who's had his injury problems over the last couple years. And so when you're not clicking with everything in its place, you're going to use up and cause friction in other spots, right? That's overcompensation that happens with injuries to our body, and that happens with teams. And so the Minnesota Wild have always been, or at least historically have been in the last 10 years, a team that tends to get itself into trouble around this time and then really has to fight for their spots in those playoffs down the end of the stretch.
Yep.
And it's kind of shaping up to be that way this year. But thankfully, I think in the Western Conference, there's a lot of teams that are searching for themselves. Even for a team like Winnipeg that has been mostly dominant all season. They were dominating last year, and so was Connor Hellebuck as a goaltender. But guess what? He pooped his pants in the playoffs, and then it was all downhill from there. We don't really know. The NHL is very transient right now, so it's anybody's game.
But the one thing I will say, you know, when we talked about like a lot of these injuries, stuff like that, like the goaltending question, that's still like I think about that because guys were like the Gus Bus. He was on fire, right? There's been regression. What do you make of that?
Goalie has two games. Now we're two bad games. They're regressing. It's over. The streak is done. Man. You got to hang. You got to hang with
them. No, you got to hang with it. Yeah,
you
got to
hang. And I know that we have young AHL netminder waiting in the wings, Jesper Walstad, but he hasn't really been pushing the envelope this year because he's really struggled. And the thing about goaltending is that it's so feast or famine. For you have it all figured out. The game is coming really easy. You're stopping beach balls left and right, and then boom, it's gone. And all of your timing's off, and you're not seeing things through traffic, and you're not even pushing to the right area of the ice. And so much of it is about confidence in today's day and game, and especially with inflated scoring, you're seeing so many more goals. We've had to adjust kind of our tolerance for when is it a tough night to and for it's an opportunity to pull the goaltender. Like, you have to play that a little bit differently. But, you know, when they have so many defensemen in and out of the lineup, it's tough to really put all of that on your goaltender. So hopefully with Jacob Middleton being back and hopefully with a little bit more stability, goaltending will be able to lead the way a little bit more. But it hasn't exactly been the most fortified of aspects of the team over the last couple of years.
Let me see here. When can I get down to the X? Clearly can't get down
You're
there.
Telling me get down to Shakopee. You certainly have a shorter drive to get over to the X.
How do you know?
I don't know.
I get
I'm just making
Shakopee
assumptions. I'm just making assumptions. I don't know where you live.
Utah, definitely not getting there in the next 5 minutes.
No.
Saturday, won't be at the X for Calgary because I will be finishing off Twins Fest with Corey Provis.
That's right. I will be in here for that.
Okay. So,
I will not make that one either.
So I will not be there Saturday. Then next week, they begin this Sunday, they begin a 5-game road trip.
East Coast Canadian road trip, you say?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next opportunity to see them play, clearly I can't go on a Thursday, Saturday, February the 8th against New York.
Or you have the Carolina Hurricanes on the 6th. But if you want to watch high-octane scoring
that's a
hockey,
Thursday.
Don't go to that one.
That's a Thursday.
I don't know what you're doing. Oh, you're busy.
I'm here.
I don't know your life, Henry. Maybe you're taking some time off.
What are we doing right now?
I know we're working, but I don't know. I don't know. You got a fresh new slate of PTO. I don't know if you want to go see the unbelievable trap offense that is the Carolina Hurricanes. They'll shoot you to death, but they will very rarely score.
I think I'm going to target Saturday, February the 8th.
You're going to go see the Islanders play?
I'm going to see the Wild play.
I know. Well, they might have a future Minnesota Wild member on there. You know where a lot of Minnesota talent ends up? On the New York Islanders. Brock Nelson might be a member of the Minnesota Wild by the trade deadline.
It's not like it's,
he's
you know.
He's the tall, giraffe-looking one.
And then March 2nd.
Anders Lee. Udinese.
They play Boston.
Captain. Boston?
I can't go March the 9th.
Not March the 9th?
Against Pittsburgh.
Okay. Well, they're a bad team. You might see some high-octane offense in that place.
Yeah, no, I'm just
saying, real bad.
Just because when we get into March, I'm hunkered down.
Why? Is it basketball time?
What? Clown question.
I'm just asking. I know you're a gambling man. Do you lock in?
It's about getting them brackets right.
Oh, getting them brackets.
People pay me to help them with their brackets.
They pay you to tell them what to do with their brackets.
I do presentations on the brackets.
Like in middle school, we got like a three.
No, like companies.
Companies pay you to come tell them which people to pick?
You know.
I didn't realize I
side
was
hustle,
doing
baby.
Radio
side
with
hustle.
A big deal like that. I should have known better.
My background is college basketball.
I know. Well, so you're just a multi-talented individual. I don't put your strength in any one place. Well, I don't want to limit you like that.
I appreciate that. I am diverse.
I know.
I embrace diversity.
We love that for you. Somebody asked
you
in this day and age. Might not be here for very much longer, though. Thoughts and prayers.
Oh, man. Hey, coming up next, let's talk NFL. We have championship weekend. Nobody better than Matthew Collar, Purple Insider. Yeah, the Purple aren't being a part of the postseason. We get that. But what does he make of the matchups? And I got to ask him about the Kansas City Chiefs. Are they getting favorable calls? I don't agree with that. We'll talk to Matthew Collar next.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.